From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Happy Hanukkah, those of you of the Jewish faith. Started at sundown. Hope you have an enjoyable moment. Next hour, new revelations about a 1945 UFO crash with Paula Harris and some special eyewitnesses throughout the evening. Get ready for that. Well, here we go. Amazon.com has severed ties with controversial website WikiLeaks, the organization that just released tons of sensitive U.S. State Department documents. Computers run by Amazon's Elastic Web Compute Service in Tulsa, Portland, and New York and elsewhere had been hosting the site cablegate.wikileaks.org. Not anymore. Verizon Wireless says its new 4G wireless broadband internet network will start accepting customers on Sunday in 38 cities across the country. Initially, only laptop users will be able to take advantage of the higher data speeds offered by the network compared with Verizon's 3G. The speeds are somewhat higher and faster than those offered by T-Mobile's USA and AT&T, where their 3G networks have been upgraded to their highest speeds. It looks and acts like something best left in the hands of Sylvester Stallone's Rambo, but this latest dream weapon is real, and the U.S. Army sees it becoming the Taliban's worst nightmare. The Pentagon has rolled out prototypes of its first-ever programmable smart grenade launcher, a shoulder-fired weapon that uses microchipped ammunition to target and kill the enemy, even when the enemy is hidden behind walls or other cover. Dr. John Alexander is a leading advocate of the development of non-lethal weaponry. He's on the line with us right now. John, tell me about this weapon. What do we know about it?
Well, not too much. I personally think it's getting overhyped. Certainly a good thing. It's a 25 millimeter. It can reach out about 700 meters, and it does deliver very accurate fire. Of course, the problem in Afghanistan is IEDs, where you don't see the enemy at all.
Well, now, in this case, they say that they could be hidden behind a wall. It'll find them. How does that happen?
Well, it's got sensors in it. Of course, the rounds are going to be very expensive, but it's looking at $35,000 a copy for the weapon now. But it has a microchip in there that the laser rangefinder says how far do you have to go. When the round gets that far, it explodes and shoots down. Frankly, I'll tell you how long it's been in development. I have seen these kinds of technologies, I'm going to say back to early 1980s.
That's a long time. John, you've written a book called Future War. What do you see wars like in the next 20, 30 years?
Very difficult, very messy, and tremendous ties between both use of violence, as we've traditionally done it, and economic implications.
All right, very good. John, thank you so much. Great input from you always. Actor Wesley Snipes, ordered to voluntarily surrender at a federal prison in Pennsylvania next week to start his three-year sentence in jail for failing to pay taxes. Snipes had tried unsuccessfully to remain free on bail after appealing his conviction to the U.S. Supreme Court. A judge said, nope, it's time for you to start serving. Astronomers say the universe may contain three times the number of stars as currently thought. Can you imagine that? And their assessment is based on new observations showing other galaxies may have very different structures than our Milky Way galaxy. The researchers tell the journal Nature that more stars probably means many more planets as well, perhaps trillions of Earth-like worlds. The Yale University-led study used the Keck telescope in Hawaii. There are possibly trillions of Earths now orbiting these stars. And a NASA press release announcing an astrobiology finding, something that will impact the search for extraterrestrial life, has simply sent shockwaves throughout the blogosphere. The press release simply announces an event set for Thursday at 2 o'clock Eastern Time to discuss an astrobiology discovery that they say will impact the search for evidence of extraterrestrial life. Astrobiology is the study of the origin, evolution, distribution, and future of life in the universe. And who better than Whitley Strieber to react to this story unknowncountry.com. Whitley, what do you think this is all about?
Well, I wish I could say that they were about to announce that they had found evidence of life on Mars, but I think that what it is that they have found evidence of living organisms that use arsenic as a basic, use arsenic rather than phosphorus as their basis in Mono Lake. It's much less sexy, but it still means that there could be a whole vast different group of life forms in the universe than we thought. We thought every life form had to be based on phosphorus, but if it turns out that there are life forms that are based on arsenic, which is next to the phosphorus in the periodic table of the elements, the reason it's a poison is that cells are tricked into uptaking it because it's so similar to phosphorus, but it doesn't work for us and it kills us. Apparently, a NASA scientist, Felicia Wolf-Simon, has found life forms in Mono Lake that use arsenic. I could be wrong about this, but there's no one, the story's still embargoed, but the rumor is that that's what it's going to be about.
So we're not getting full disclosure that we've been visited, right?
Oh, no, I think it's very far from that. But, you know, it does bring up a question. If there are two chemicals that can be the basis for life, and there are trillions of Earth-like planets out there, frankly, the silence is a little scary.
Yeah, now this story about all these planets and trillions of more Earth-like worlds that they may have out there, do you think that's going to tie in at all to tomorrow's announcement?
I think it could. I think that it could very easily be said that since there are now two chemicals that can support life, phosphorus and arsenic both can, that there are many more chances for living forms to exist than we had thought. So it might be that life is extremely common, but I don't think intelligent life is very common, or we wouldn't be so isolated. Somebody's here. I would stake my life on that.
Yes, you would.
But why isn't there more radio noise in the universe? Because if there are trillions of planets out there, surely a lot of them go through a phase of using things like radio and television. Maybe it's not a long phase. Maybe it's only 100 years or so. But wouldn't we find radio debris, some bits and pieces that made sense instead of just the natural background noise that we do find? It's kind of eerie.
Yeah, it really is. And what's new over at unknowncountry.com?
Well, we have unknowncountry.com has morphed into a completely new website, and do take a look at it. It is it's a tremendously exciting change. We completely rebuilt it from the ground up, and it's been up now for a month like this, and it's doubled its usership in a month.
Good for you. Good for you. Give Anna a hug for me, would you?
I surely will, George.
Okay, my friend. Take care. Bye. Thanks. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow what NASA's got up its sleeve. We got Bob Zimmerman, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe, science reporter Richard C. Hoagland, who also heads up the enterprisemission.com. All of them are going to be monitoring this story, and they'll be on for a couple hours tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll talk about whatever this might be. Could be a phenomenal story. Could be nothing. We'll find out. Lee Harvey Oswald's coffin is going on the auction block. That's right, the original coffin in which suspected Kennedy assassin Lee Harvey Oswald, even though I don't think he did, was buried, will go on the block on December 16th with bids starting at $1,000. If you want to buy it, go ahead and do it. Auction officials anticipate it will sell for much higher. Oswald was buried in the casket until 1981. You know, he was killed in 1963, a couple days after he was arrested for shooting the president. But in 1981, they exhumed him. His widow and his brother had a legal dispute, so they took him out of that coffin, and the one he was originally in here is going up for auction. Did you know that your name determines your personality? That's right. The names people choose to give their children communicate a wealth of social information, much so now than ever before. A new analysis of name statistics suggests that the meaning conveyed by a baby's name, and that is what a name tells others about the parent's tastes and background, has ramped up significantly over the last 25 years as baby names have become more diverse and numerous. And I've got to tell you, years ago, a person by the name of Marianne Korowitz came up with a book called Name Power 101. She saw this 25 years before anybody else did. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Marianne Korowitz, our special guest. She's an author, of course. One of her books, Name Power 101, years ago back in St. Louis. I had her on the air back in 1996, 97, where she was talking about how names determine the outcome of a child's personality. And Marianne, here you are back. Now, here we are, 2010, going into 2011. Now scientists are beginning to say, hey, yeah, that's true. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. They're finally catching up and becoming more aware.
When a parent names a kid, most of them are not aware that the name they choose will determine the personality. How did you find that out years ago?
Well, I've always been very interested in psychology, and I have a background in education and also studied psychology on a graduate level, and I was always looking for a tool that I could count on that could predict human behavior. Most of the tools that we have as psychological testing tools are very subjective, so they're really dependent on how a person feels about them, like a Rorschach test. But I noticed when I was teaching that children with the same name were very similar, and that got me being able to predict children's behavior after a few years in the classroom. So I started asking other teachers. They were noticing the same thing, and that got me launched into the study of names.
Now, you've heard of the comedian Tim Conway, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's been all over. Well, his son is a host on our major station in Los Angeles, KFI. His name's Tim Conway. And I was just talking to him right before I came on. And I said, Tim, do you know that had they called you Timothy when you were growing up, you would have ended up a librarian? It could, but your name will determine a lot of things like that, won't it?
Oh, it will. The name really plays a big role in how the personality will develop, the kinds of traits that will be dominant and those that won't be. Later on, the name will play a big role in determining the vocation that you choose to go into, and even the people you attract in your life. So the partners you choose and the friends that you have, all of those things are really assisted by the name's vibration.
Does the name tell you anything about the parents, as this study is beginning to say?
It does. It tells you a lot about the parents. And I've recently developed a set of baby cards that actually show the archetypes of the names in visual format. And I have parents take a look at these pictures and the pictures that they choose. And then after that, the names that they attribute to those pictures tells a lot about where that parent is coming from. Are they looking to name their child with traits and characteristics that are very similar to their own? Or are they looking to have a standalone child, someone that's very unique in their own personality? So we can read a lot into what parents are like and what their children are like through the names that they have.
I remember years ago you told me that if an individual was named, let's say, Thomas, but he decided later on in life he wanted to be called Tom or Tommy, that it changed people's persona of him and it also helped his personality. Remember that?
Absolutely, yes. And there's a strong tradition of name change or variation in many cultures. So a person would go through achievement or they weren't performing in life the way they wanted to. And either they would change their name or someone else would change it. And that still counts today. So if you want to have a different characteristics brought out or changes in your life, you can go to a different form of your name.
I'm stuck with George. There's not much I can do about that, is there?
It's not a lot of variations on that one.
I've got a friend. Her name's Monica. She sometimes spells her name M-O-N-I-K-A, and then sometimes M-O-N-I-C-A. What does that do to her?
Well, it's going to shift a little bit what's happening in her life, and I think we all know these things on an intuitive level. When she's Monica with a C, she's going to be extremely independent. I really look deeply into things, but very independent, wanting to do things on her own. And when she wants to be more giving and generous, she's going to go with that K, and that will shift into a little different feeling in her life, and people will respond to her differently as well, even though the name looks or sounds the same, but looks different.
It does look different. You're absolutely right. So if you're a parent, you're ready to name your kid, what do you do? I mean, do you go through, you still have Name Power 101. I mean, do you go through and pick out personalities based on the name?
Yes. In fact, I've now developed an interactive naming software that allows parents to take a look at the traits and the characteristics they want to see in their child. Everything can be encoded in the name, so you can take a look at these traits and find the names that have those particular characteristics. So if you know, for instance, in your family there's a lot of restlessness and hyperactivity and you want to avoid those things, you can actually look behind the scenes into the name codes and avoid names that are going to bring out those things in your child.
Names seem to change over the eras as well. Back in the 50s, you know, everybody was named something. Back in the 60s, another thing. 70s, 80s, it seems to change. Why is that? Why do trends seem to create, you know, names where, you know, if you did a study, you'd find that a number of parents will name their kid that name, whatever it happens to be for that decade.
That's true. And back in the 50s and before that, people wanted to fit in. They wanted to work with tradition and really have that conformity overall, both in families and in our society at large. We're changing that today. We want to have more individualism, distinctiveness. And so parents are stretching that a bit and saying, okay, we can get more unique in the names that we use. I think the other thing that's changing things is the internet. Oftentimes we meet people with our name before we meet them in person. And so we want to have a distinctive name, or parents want their children to have a distinctive name. So you do stand apart and you don't blend in with everyone else.
No, not at all. It is fascinating. There's a science to this, Marianna, isn't there?
Oh, there definitely is. Absolutely. There is, of course, the sight and sound of a name, which is important, and how a first name and a surname go together and how they sound. But beyond that, behind the scenes is that subliminal effect that we don't see but we respond to. And that's the part that's really the language of names, because it affects us so deeply.
If 100 Bills called you tonight, would they all generally have the same personality if they were Bill?
They're not going to be exactly the same, but they will certainly share some characteristics. The last name is going to affect things. The middle name is going to affect things as well. But there will be a general trend in each and every one of those Bills that they would recognize as being similar.
What about people who use their middle name, people who use just a middle initial? People who don't use the middle name at all, is there a difference there?
There is a difference, yes, and it really does vary depending on the name components that are involved as to which is the most benefit. Some people do benefit from that middle name or initial. Others are better without it. The middle name in and of itself affects our self-perception because it's kind of our private name, the one that we see for our own. And so on that energetic level, that's what happens there. But when it becomes a part of the whole name, it affects things one way or another as well.
Assassins or alleged assassins all seem to have middle names that are used. Lee Harvey Oswald, John Wilkes Booth, Mark David Chapman. Why is that?
I'm not really sure exactly.
It's weird.
That is. But it certainly does make them more unique because we can recognize them with that added name. They don't blend in with everyone else.
100 years ago, I had your website as Name Power 101. You still use that or you have a new one?
I have a new one. And now I have the namingexperience.com for just everyday name qualities, and then the babynamingexperience.com for baby naming, and the businessnamingexperience.com for business names.
You have expanded since we talked back in the 1990s, haven't you?
I have, yes.
People are interested in this. We're going to take some phone calls Mariana with you in a moment. And, you know, we'll have some fun this time because, you know, maybe you can tell people specifically about themselves and, you know, how they use their name, how they change it, and why they change it. It really affects a lot of people that way. With our special guest, we're talking about a study just released that says that babies' names reveal more about the parents than ever before. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, next hour, Paula Harris joins us, and then later on in the program, two special eyewitnesses about a 1945 UFO crash in San Antonio, New Mexico, not Texas, San Antonio, New Mexico. Back in a moment. Well, next hour, Paula Harris joins us. Later on, a couple witness to an incredible UFO crash in 1945 in San Antonio, New Mexico. So get ready for that. By the way, 40 sponsorships to go, and then we've reached our second of three goals, sponsoring children for Children International. That's it, just 40 to go. So just go to coasttocoastam.com, click the Children International icon button there that you'll find on the bottom of the homepage, and there you go. By the way, if you sponsor a child, we'll give you a free book, Journey to the Light, as well, just as our way is saying thank you. And it only costs about $22 a month for a one-year commitment to sponsor a child. First one up, next one, is Subrata from India. She is 8 years old. She's looking for someone to sponsor her. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with Mariana Korwitz. We're talking about names and how they change and develop your personality. Mariana, I've got some friends. They named their little girl London. Very unique. What happens to her when she grows up? I mean, is she going to be a worldly woman or what?
She'll have a lot of the traits that the city of London actually has. But we are seeing that trend where people are naming their children after places, perhaps a special place that they really love or where they went on their honeymoon. So it's something that's happening a lot.
Yeah, it really is. I'm glad my parents didn't name me Sault Ste. Marie up in Michigan. Which is a great city, but what a name to pronounce. Let's go to some of the phones. Sarah is in Newburgh, New York. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hello. I think that probably most people who are fairly intuitive, sensitive, will notice that different sounds have different effects all the way down to mantras, names. But I was wondering how you came up with such incredibly specific interpretations, like a K versus a C for Monica, and all this detail. Was this based on messages that came to you intuitively, or just your feeling about each individual case?
It really is a combination of things. When I first realized that names were so important and had such an impact on our lives, I started studying some of the ancient traditions and realized that many of the early alphabets were alphanumeric. And that meant that there was a number attributed to every character in the alphabet system so that whoever was in the know could actually construct names by patterns or by codes. And this was how classical music was composed way back when as well. And so that was one aspect that I took a look at. And I have a background in art and studied calligraphic artwork and saw that the movement of characters when they're created creates an impact as well on the word. And then there's the intuitive quality. So all of these things kind of blend together to create the whole. And it's really an energetic vibration that's carried in the name every time that name is said or written or looked at, whatever the case is.
Mariana, in the ancient days, they would have these strange names, like, you know, Kukla Khan, this and that. I mean, did that too, during that time period, affect a child's personality, even though they were given names like that?
Oh, absolutely. And back then, the people understood a lot more on how these names worked. And so many times parents did not name the children themselves. They would go to a name giver. They would go to someone in the religious community to give that child the name according to where that child was supposed to go in life. So much more of an understanding during that time frame.
West of the Rockies, Ogden, Utah, we go. Hello, Glade. Go ahead. Nice name, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate your show, and it was a great subject. I've thought a lot about it. One, my name is kind of strange. Nobody has it very often around here, but so it's kind of made me unique, I think. Plus, I was adopted, And at 38, I'm 50. At 38, I found the natural names, McKinney and Robinson, which are all Scottish, like my adopted name. But I just, have you ever thought about the, when people find out these natural names, does it affect them? Or because I love people, but I was kind of a unique person all through life, and I'm also artistic. And so anyway, I know it's kind of a weird, nebulous question, but.
No, not at all. What happens when someone finds out or discovers that their name changed?
Well, names actually layer into our personality. So if someone is adopted or they had a name given at birth and it's a different name on their birth certificate, original birth certificate, than they have later in life, that has the first effect on the individual. It kind of sets the pace for everything else. And then as each name is added, it just creates more and more layers. So there's always the effect, but it's just lesser and lesser the less we use the name.
And your premise primarily, Mariana, is that the name you use on a regular basis determines your personality, right?
Absolutely. And that gives us the ability to determine who we are in any given situation. So when I work with clients, if someone tells me, well, I really want to be a writer, a great writer, the skills that go along with being a great writer are very isolating. So oftentimes we'll come up with a pen name that will bring out the writing skills and still allow them to have a good social life.
All right, we're going to Galadriel now in Whidbey Island, Washington, state of. Hey, Galadriel,
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, George, longtime listener.
Now that's an interesting name.
Galadriel, yes, and it's spelled very unusually. There's a character in Tolkien's series called Galadriel, but I don't pronounce it that way, nor do I spell it that way. And I took that name at the age of 39, legally changed it, and I don't have a surname. So I'm wondering, you know, mostly when people see my name, I have to explain it, which is kind of fun, and they'll ask me, what does it mean? And I just wondered, energetically, I really like it way, way better than my birth name, and I don't even like to speak my birth name. And when my family will not call me Galadriel, like my mom and my sister. So what can I do about that?
Well, when that happens, and when a person goes through a name change, oftentimes family members will have a difficult time with that because on some level they know that you will be changed every time they use the new name. Mm. And so they're basically wanting to keep you as you always were so they can understand you.
Ah, okay.
There you go. And the fact that she changed her name at 39, what does that tell you about her personality?
Well, of course, we go through changes in every decade of our lives. And when you got to that age of 39, you probably felt within yourself that you had changed a great deal and needed a different name to embrace those changes. And that will often happen. So the name is really helping you be that person. And I'm not surprised that you said you can't even really take saying your birth name. It just doesn't feel like you anymore.
When the person talking to another person changes their name on their own. Let's say, you know, like my producer's name is Tom, but sometimes I call him, he doesn't call himself Tommy, I call him Tommy. What does that mean? Is that me looking at him in a different way, or does he change because I've called him a different name?
It's both of those things, because intuitively we really do understand what names do. I'm even beginning to realize that babies before they're born are giving parents some messages as to who they want to be, so kind of whispering what name they want. And so in you knowing kind of intuitively that Tommy is going to create a little more adrenaline, when you want Tom to move a little faster and think outside the box, you're going to call him Tommy.
What happens when I call him Hey You?
That's a different thing altogether.
That changes the persona altogether, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Next up, we go to Hillary in California, first-time caller. There you go, Hillary. Thanks. Now, are all Hillarys alike, Mariana?
There are, of course, similarities, and there are many spellings of Hillary. So the spelling that is used will create the effect, but those with the same spelling will be very similar.
Interesting. Go ahead, Hillary.
Yes, I was curious whether a name can change energetics depending on political situation, because, you know, with Hillary Clinton, coming out of the scene in the 80s, I was wondering if the energetic of my name changed because of that public name.
Good question.
That is a really good question. And there is the associative value that is embedded into the name's energy as well. So the name itself carries an energetic field, and then the associative value of a society can add to that. For instance, we don't see the name Adolf used any longer because societally the association is there. So in watching someone who's prominent as Hillary Clinton, you're going to see more of those qualities within yourself, and that will enhance and strengthen the energy of your name.
Well, you know, that's true. You know, episodes occur, news events occur. You mentioned Adolf, for example. People cringe now. You know, there's probably a zillion Adolfs out there in the world. Most of them are probably nice people.
That's right.
But you hear the word Adolf, and you immediately think of Adolf Hitler, don't you? And that's unfair to that person, but people do that. Why do they do that?
Well, I think when there is a historical figure, someone who's really made an impact on people in a positive or a negative way, we tend to see some possible characteristics in that name that we don't want to take on. We see this in our families as well. If somebody's had a really tough life or they've had a problem with alcohol or something of that sort, then perhaps we just steer clear of that name for a few generations because we don't want that part, even though it may be the shadow side of the name, coming out in a family member.
Escondido, California we go. It's Mike's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Okay, Michael. All is well. See, I did it to him. His name is Mike. I call him Michael.
Well, that's actually my name, Michael. I just
feel
sometimes I go by Mike. That's what everybody calls me, I guess. I just my question kind of got took about the adoption thing, so I guess what can you tell me about me with my name? I'm just Michael, common spelling, and Sean, S-E-A-N.
But what do you use most of the time?
Michael. Michael Sean's what they call me. Non-assassin.
Non-assassin, that's right.
That's a good thing to add. Well,
so what are Michaels like, Marianne?
Well, Michaels, and this is a name, of course, that has that variation or nickname that's commonly used. Michael is someone who gets lots of leadership ability and very strong objectivity, good decision-making. So lots of strength to that name, good for academics. When you switch to Mike, it tunes you into the social side of things. So a lot more into how people think, a lot more sensitivity. So you can pick whichever one of those names feels right for you at any particular moment.
One of my daughters, her name is Christina with a K. When she was a little girl and we always had fun, it was always Christy, right? But when we got mad at her, when she did something out of the ordinary that we didn't like, we called her Christina.
That's right.
Why do we do that? Why do we use the full name when we get ticked off?
I think the formality of the name really brings out the seriousness. We've come to associate nicknames or pet names with that closeness and more of a casual feeling. But every time the formality comes into play, people know you're serious.
Let's go to Al, Bronx, New York. It's your turn. Hey, Al, take it away.
How you doing, George?
Good.
I have a question about my daughter's name. It's a very unusual name. Her name is Annika Omnia, A-N-N-I-K-A. The second part of the middle name is O-M-N-I-A.
Okay, and is this a name that you created, or is it a name that you're using?
Well, no, it's her actual legal name.
Okay. But is this a name that you created, or does it have historical value?
Annika is a traditional family name, and then Omnia is a name that came to me in a vision when I was very young.
Omnia. Aha, there's the key.
Okay. And it's very interesting in that when I look at the encoding in Omnina, this is a name that has a great deal of spirituality associated with it. It is her middle name, so it will be her self-perception. What you gave her in giving her that middle name is a real sense of her own spirituality, and she will carry that with her through life. Where Annika, her first name, will give her more expression and outgoingness and social skills. The two are a nice blend together.
I ain't no doubt. Everybody, happy holidays.
You too.
And thanks again, George, for being here for us.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Boy, this year's going by fast, isn't it? My gosh. Let's go to Chris, Houston, Texas, home of 300 cameras in the streets. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, George, let me first say it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
And me and my girlfriend just found out we were having a son in March, and we decided to name him Aiden. And I was kind of wondering what kind of traits I should be looking out for.
Spell the name. How are you going to spell it?
A-I-D-E-N.
A-I-D-E-N. Mariana, what's going to happen here?
Okay, well, you're actually choosing the stronger spelling of the two, so we also see A-I-D-A-N quite often as well. With E-N, you are going to have lots of great strength, so this is a name that's going to support your son as he goes to school, give him good leadership ability. He's likely to be very entrepreneurial when he gets older, and also be very good with money, so it's a great name.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay,
you're
Chris,
welcome.
You guys are in luck. What are some names, men and women, that are disastrous names? names you wouldn't name a kid because they just go the other way.
Well, I think, of course, there's always free will involved in names, and people can choose to be whoever they want to be. But I think what I would recommend staying away from are names that are really crazy in their outside effect. So how a name is spelled.
Give me an example.
Well, if we look at Sarah Palin's children's names, she's picked some pretty unusual names. Like one of her sons is called Track, and it's really after the sports event. And so that can be a problem later in life when you're trying to explain who you are through your name.
What about nicknames? You call a guy Tiger Woods, you know, what about names like that?
Well, of course, each one of those will have a particular quality associated with them as well. With Tiger, this is a name that does create a lot of adrenaline, just like the actual animal, and has that ability to really have that adrenaline going during the hunt. Served him very well, but also created a lot of restlessness in his personal life.
It created his personal problems, didn't it?
It certainly did.
If he went with his legal name, he would have been okay.
That's right.
Let's go to Donald in Anaheim, California. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Donald.
Hey, thank you, George.
Sure thing.
Mariana, George was speaking earlier about Tim Conway Jr. and how things would have turned out different for him if he would have been called Timothy.
Yes.
Now, I have a friend, and his name is Timothy. When he was younger, we called him Timmy. When he was older, he wanted to be called Tim. Me, you know, people call me Don, but if they ask me what I prefer, my name is Donald. So what's the difference between using a short name or the full name?
Well, it's not so much short versus full. It's more the subliminal effect that's present within the name. That's behind the scenes, and that's what people feel on a really big level. But that particular encoding is going to affect who you are. So for you, you're sensing that you are more of a Donald than you are a Don, and you're actually requesting people to use that name. Other times, people will go through phases in their life where they feel differently, and they'll take on a different form of name, as in Timothy or Tim.
You know, and as these names continue to evolve and people change, massage, sometimes they change with their personality. Sometimes the name changes it as well. Does it have more an effect on you as you're an adult and you change the name, or is it the kid who already has the name and doesn't have much of a choice?
Well, I think as we get older, we have more perception of what's happening, and so sometimes can make that choice very consciously in changing a name. But as for children, when a name is changed, the effect takes place very quickly because they don't have as much history. They don't have as much personality development. So you can see more changes in life when a change is made in a name early, but certainly more conscious awareness when a change is made later in life.
Mariana, good luck with you. Her website will be part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk with Paula Harris about a 1945 UFO crash, followed by some witnesses. We'll be back.